You're listening to the Flasco Oncopod, brought to you by the Florida Society of Clinical Oncology, the voice of oncology in Florida.
Good day, everybody. My name is Dr. Luis Reyes. I'm a thoracic oncologist. I work as a chief scientific officer and medical director of Memorial Cancer Institute in Miami. I'm also a professor in Florida Atlantic University, and I had the pleasure to be a past president of Florida Society of Clinical Oncology. I'm here with my colleague, Dr. Edgardo Santos.
Hi, everyone. Edgardo Santos. I am the medical director of Broward County for the Oncology Institute of Hope and Innovation, and also the physician lead for the Lung Cancer Center of Excellence for TOI. I am actually the president of the Florida American Society of Clinical Oncology, known as FLASCO. And for me, it's a pleasure, you know, to be here with my colleague and good friend, Dr. Luis Reyes, another thoracic oncology, to discuss about EGFR mutation in lung cancer and everything that's happened in the last two years, which basically has changed completely the landscape of this field.
Yeah, so we are going to talk about why first-line matter, about the survival sequencing and support in EGFR-mutated lung cancer. As Dr. Santos said, it's a very important topic because, as you know, 15% of our white population has this genetic aberration. But, you know, in the Hispanic population, in some countries in Latin America, it can be as high as 30 or 40%. In Asia, maybe 40%. So these are a lot of patients that have the genetic aberration and hopefully can benefit of this agent. What's the problem to do first line or second line, or why we cannot use the drug third line, and why it's so important the first line that is the discussion, you know?
Yeah, Luis. So yeah, it's important because first line will determine in any kind of disease, what will happen down the line with the patient. In particular, in EGFR mutation, we start to realize about this pathway, EGFR, the epidermal growth factor receptor, many years ago. And finally, it was not until, I would say, almost 10 years after the first EGFR tyrosine kinase inhibitor that was approved by the FDA, 10 years after, we have a very good drug called osimertinib, third generation TKI. But the thing has evolved in the last 3 years. By October this year will be 3 years since we have two landmark papers that basically have shown to be superior than osimertinib monotherapy in terms of overall survival. At the end of the day, Luis, as you know, as a thoracic oncology, as best is the therapy out front, not only we are going to improve the survival of our patient, and certainly also will change what kind of second or third line the patient will receive. So today, beside osimertinib monotherapy that we were using since 2018, now we have two combinations that basically have changed the landscape of this disease. One is a combination of osimertinib plus chemotherapy, based on the FLAURA2 study. And the other one is the combination of two target therapy. One is amivantamab, which is a monoclonal antibody, plus lacertinib, another third generation TKI from the MARIPOSA study. And we are going to go through this, Luis, you and me, on the data and how significant is this improvement in overall survival.
Yeah, I agree, because the problem is for the audience, maybe some people that don't know, but unfortunately, you know, in any cancer therapy, you know, it's not only in EGFR we're talking about, in any cancer therapy, when patients fail the first-line therapy, they get sick sometimes. You know, it's not only that the tumors increase size. Sometimes you fail cancer therapy and you catch a pneumonia, you can have blood clot, a heart attack, pleural effusion, you know, and so that's why when the patients go for second-line therapy, historically, it's only 50 or 60%. It's not very low, but it's only 50 or 60%. In the academic centers, because we have patients in better performance status, probably highly motivated, we get maybe 90%, but in real life, it's very low. So meaning that if the therapy that we provide at the beginning is going to be the therapy in most of the patients, So that's why we had to give the best shot first. You know, that's why that's the conclusion of, I guess, this segment. You know, maybe also before we start with the studies, Ricardo, we get this common question that what is the best surrogate? You know, that we care about survival, progression-free survival, or response rate. You know, so maybe you can explain why for us survival is the most important surrogate. You know?
Yeah, Luis, and before I answer your question, something that is important to recognize is that why Dr. Reyes mentioned that we need to give the best therapy out front. And it because, unfortunately, even on the modern era of oncology and the most recent clinical trials, unfortunately, every time that we move from first line to second line, we lost one third of the patients. So one third of the patient will not receive second line for any kind of reason. So it's better always to give the best therapy out front, so we can perhaps secure that most of the patient can move into second line. So yeah, but based on first line, the gold standard, and I think that finally we have an agreement among all the medical oncologists, is overall survival. Progression-free survival basically means how long the patient can be without progression with X or Y study or combination or treatment. That's okay. But at the end of the day, the majority of the patient and us as a clinician, we care about how long the patient can live. How long can we improve the survival of those patients with good quality of life? Another topic that we will discuss in this webcast today.
Yeah, and now we are lucky that you know, sometimes we have to make in oncology decisions based only in the response rate or in the progression-free survival because the studies are not big enough, they are not large enough, they are not mature. But as Dr. Santos said, for the specific case of EGFR frontline therapy, we are lucky that we have survival data with these studies, now with FLAURA2 and with the MARIPOSA. No, in FLAURA2, we know that adding chemotherapy to osimertinib, we can really increase the survival for the median survival to close to 10 months. You know, with a median survival of now, the last published in World Lung, it was 49% at 4 years. You know, if we do the combination compared with 41% only with osimertinib. So that means that there is a big benefit. And if you are thinking about, oh, it's only 8%. We get more than 200,000 people with lung cancer. So 8% is a lot of people. You know, every human being is priceless, but you're talking about a lot of people. So don't be confused because it's only 8%, you know? So, and the same with MARIPOSA. In MARIPOSA, we don't have the final, I guess, overall survivor yet because it has not been reached, meaning that there is not enough event yet. But at 42 months, in the last time that it was published in ESMO, we have like a 56% of people alive compared with 44% with osimertinib alone, amivantamab, lazertinib versus imertinib. So we are lucky that in this case, we have very good data for frontline therapy, you know? So, and Edgardo, how do you interpret these two studies and how do you go to which one is better in your opinion? I know I'm asking something difficult because they look very, very equivalent, you know?
Yeah, it's a very difficult question to answer. Bottom line is both of them already improve survival. That's the bottom line. And we cannot compare one study to the other because there is a lot of factors and variables that are not well balanced between the two studies. So the different population, although the inclusion criteria, everyone has to have this EGFR mutation, sensitive mutation, were equal, but how the studies were designed and conducted were completely different. So at the end of the day, it needs to be case by case. It will depend, for example, if a patient doesn't want to receive chemotherapy, which has, you know, quote, a bad reputation, then we will go on amivantamab lazertinib, which is completely chemotherapy free. There are some patients that may not like the care or the supportive of care that we need to provide to the patient when the patient receives amivantamab and lazertinib because there is dual inhibition of EGFR. So we are going to have more skin rash. We are going to have more paronychia, perhaps diarrhea and other things. And the patient perhaps is too much that kind of supportive care. So then we go on osimertinib plus chemotherapy. So it's case by case, Dr. Reyes. But at the end of the day, and the most important thing that you mentioned before is that now we have increased the bar, improving the survival using combination therapy in both regimens. So at the end of the day, it's case by case.
Yeah, and at least we agree that the standard of care has changed, you know, because we have been using osimertinib for alone for like 5 years now, and until recently, like a year ago, when we didn't have the survival data from FLAURA2, like people were not very convinced that they want to move to combination therapy, but now I think everybody, as Dr. Santos said, agree. The best treatment for a EGFR patient frontline is combination therapy. You should only use monotherapy with osimertinib in special circumstances, because otherwise these benefits that we already mentioned, you know, in survival, progression-free survival, they're not going to be seen. So that's why it's very important to emphasize that now monotherapy osimertinib is the exclusion or the rare case, and the combination is supposed to be the front line. That's something that we still don't see. A lot of people are still giving only osimertinib monotherapy, and it's not good for the patients, no? They also, how do you see, Edgardo, the intracranial benefits that we get with this combination therapy, you know?
Yeah, this is important because we need to recognize that EGFR mutant patients, they are two times or twofold prone to have brain metastasis from the beginning, different from those patients whose tumor have wild type EGFR, that there is no mutation in that pathway. But before I address that question, Dr. Reyes, something that we need to mention is that these two combinations, either FLAURA2 and Mariposa, both studies also bring some risk factor that confer poor prognosis to those patients, which is important. Okay, having lung cancer, stage four, is not good. We need to be aggressive in the management of patients with stage four lung cancer so we can change the outcome of our patient. But if you choose, for example, two stage four lung cancer patient, both of them with EGFR mutation, both of them with the same mutation, there are clinical characteristics that will not give the best outcome to some patient. And those are CNS metastasis, that we are going to address that, liver metastasis, the presence of liquid biopsy, looking for circulating tumor DNA positive in the blood, and also co-mutation that goes also with the EGFR. For example, you have EGFR exon 19, but in the tumor, there is also another mutation. It could be one of the most common one, TP53. When you have all those risk factors, those patients are not going to do well, even if you compare that the two patients have similar mutation, similar comorbid condition, good performance status, those factors are important. Okay, CNS. The good news is that both study were very active against CNS metastasis. They are going to get a very good overall response rate in the brain and sometimes complete remission. And Luis, I want to allow you, because I know that you love this topic, and this is important for all our colleagues and the patient that will listen to us. If you have a CNS metastasis where the patient is asymptomatic, not to proceed running to have a radiation therapy, because at the end of the day, Luis, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And as I mentioned before, the most important thing is if we are going to improve the survival for years on those patients, one of the key issues, Luis, is quality of life. So I would like that you comment, Luis, how do you approach a patient that has asymptomatic brain metastasis having these two options right now?
Yeah, I think in the past, as I said before, osimertinib, we used to do stereotactic radiation therapy that compared with 20 years ago, we used to give whole brain radiation. It was a major advantage. But now that the osimertinib has good penetration, and we know that the amivantamab too, and that we get good brain responses. I think we agree on this. All our community oncologists will agree. You have a patient on EGFR mutation with brain metastases that are not life-threatening. They are small and they are not symptomatic. We should start with one of these combination regimens and give the patient at least 4 or 5 week chance before considering radiation. We are not canceling the radiation. Unfortunately, in the future, maybe 2 or 3 years in the future, when the osimertinib and amivantamab stops working, we may need the radiation, but we don't have to use the radiation up front because there's a good chance that these agents will penetrate the brain and they will control the disease. So that is why I think all of our oncology community also agree to try to give them the chance. No? Exceptions are, for example, a patient that presents very symptomatic, headache, brain herniation, edema, that may not only need surgery, he may, if it's a single lesion, he may need surgery, you know, so, and radiation. So that's why I think these are the exceptions, no?
In another topic, now that we are talking about Flora 2 and the Mariposa, I would like that you describe the design of the study because both the study has maintenance treatment, maintenance phase, and you know that most of the toxicity occurred in the first 4 months for both Mariposa and Flora 2. Can you take us, how do you deal with both, either Flora 2 and Mariposa, to minimize the toxicity, especially in the first 4 months of treatment?
Yeah, in the case of Flora 2, you know, the toxicity is a little bit harder at the beginning because we are using chemotherapy. We're using 4 cycles of carboplatin pemetrexed, and then you know we have an incidence of anemia, diarrhea. We also have neutropenia, thrombocytopenia, but it's mainly because the carboplatin pemetrexed. So that is the extra toxicity that we need to face in the first 4 cycles. You know, when the patient is left with osimertinib and pemetrexed alone, that toxicity goes down and is more tolerable. But you know, in real life, in Flora 2, patients only get 8 months of chemo total because a lot of doctors, I guess, after 8 months, they even discontinue the pemetrexed because they think that you know, I still have osimertinib. But we have evidence that as longer the pemetrexed stays with osimertinib, it's better. So that's why this is a very good teaching point. You know that the fact that they have osimertinib doesn't say, oh, if the patient have any side effect with pemetrexed, I'll get rid of that. No, it is possible to stick with the pemetrexed. We will continue with the pemetrexed. No, in the case of Mariposa, amivantamab lazertinib, we know the infusion reactions are the one of the most complicated side effects that hopefully will disappear soon because, well, not disappear, but decrease 5 times because we are using now in the United States SubQ. We started this month with SubQ administration that decreased 5 times the infusion reaction. The infusion reaction used to be like 60-something percent of the patients. This is probably one more. They are not lethal, but they are worrisome, troublesome. Some patients don't like it. So, and these infusion reactions usually, even in the IV, they disappear later when we are having patients on maintenance. No? So I have patients on amivantamab for close to 2 years, and it has been more than a year since we get an infusion reaction or anything like that. So that's the difference between the early and the late toxicity. No, unfortunately, the rash is pretty much present all the time for both regimes, and the rash still gets better in both regimes with the time. No? Or survivors that are in Mariposa or Flora 2, maybe 15, 16 months, the rash has decreased a lot. Probably with osimertinib alone, the rash is better than we still use amivantamab because we still have more rash. You know? So what is your experience with that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Similar to what do you said, I mean, that subcutaneous formulation that was recently approved by the FDA on December 19 last year has changed a lot for our patient. As you well mentioned, Luis, just by using the subcutaneous formulation instead of the AMI IV, a lot of the toxicity decrease, especially the infusion-related reaction. Now, for the rash, that's the problem. And for our patients that are listening today and our colleagues, remember, if you use amivantamab, which target EGFR and MET, okay, already I said EGFR plus lazertinib, which is another EGFR, we are targeting the EGFR from the extracellular domain of the tumor cells, and then also from the intracellular where the EGFR tyrosine kinase domain is. So it's a dual inhibition, and when we do that, more rash and more paronychia and other problems are coming. So we need to also recognize that we are talking about FLAURA2 and MARIPOSA. But the MARIPOSA study, when it was presented initially in 2023, have a lot of toxicity, okay? The rash was like 26% grade 3, 4, or 5, okay? 26% is too much. But a lot of things happened since then. And we have implemented supportive of care coming for different clinical trials. One is COCOON, like the movie, COCOON trial, which basically addressed the issue of rash, which means basically that we are going to be proactive, not reactive. So we are going to implement the use of antibiotic from the beginning, from day one of amivantamab lazertinib. We are going to implement also the use of a skin moisturizer. We are going to use a medication like chlorhexidine to decrease the incidence of paronychia. And also the same thing that we have done from the beginning, avoid sun exposure, clothe to protect ourselves or our patient from sun exposure. Then we also have the SCIP, IRR, which basically brought the use of dexamethasone to avoid exactly what Dr. Reyes mentioned about those infusion-related reactions, that we need to use the dexamethasone as the SCIP IRR if we use the amivantamab IV. But if we use subcut, we only use dexamethasone on day one, cycle one. That's it. You don't have to use dexamethasone anymore. And finally, as Dr. Ray mentioned, also the VTE prophylaxis that is also in place regardless if you use IV or subcut. However, the subcut just by itself has less incidence of VTE. So by implementing all of these, the toxicity that we found on MARIPOSA back in 2023, already published in our best journal, the New England Journal of Medicine, is something that is, in my opinion, a past history because we need to implement those supportive care so the patient can go through this.
Yeah, and to finish, because we're going to run out of time, I think we can talk about education. You know, one of the reasons I think this regimen is not being used is because lack of knowledge. You know, as you just mentioned, today, the statistics of MARIPOSA that are published are not probably real life, because in real life, as you said, we use anticoagulation. In real life, we use dexamethasone. In real life, we use antibiotics for skin and all of the other things. So that's why the real amount of prevalence or incidence of these adverse events is lower. However, you still need to educate. That's why I think in our center, for example, we educate not only the patient but also the infusion nurses, because, for example, now we have a lot of bispecifics that are very toxic, especially for heme malignancies, that can even be lethal, that cause CRS. This one doesn't cause CRS. Even if the patient gets sick, usually it's not life-threatening. But all of these differences maybe are not well known for a very busy oncologist. That's why it's important, I think, that we do a lot of education before giving the regimens. Maybe our nurses can do in our center, we call chemo teaching class, you know, so the patient feels more comfortable if he knows what to do or what to expect. You know, as I said, it's not the same as an infusion reaction, even if you feel very sick, compared with CRS that can kill you. No, so that's why the patient can calm and be sure that this is not the same thing. So how do you do in your practice to deal with these toxicities? Your nurses are the ones that teach, or you teach, or how, or your pharmacist teach? What is your best recommendation so we can make more people more familiar with these measures to prevent reaction?
Yeah, so the teaching initially is done by me, you know, face to face with the patient, and then is done by the chemotherapy nurses during the process. I also want to mention that in both study from Flora 2 as well as Mariposa, the sponsor of those clinical trials, they also have a hotline in which if the patient is enrolled or receiving that kind of therapy, they can contact the sponsor. And in particular, there are cases in which there is a nurse navigator that listen to the patient, talk to the patient, and follow the patient through the journey. So that is a lot of support that also coming from the sponsor of both study. So just to keep that in mind. One other thing also, Luis, that we need to mention that going back to the Mariposa is the fact that this amivantamab, in my opinion, we still don't know what could be the reach of this bispecific monoclonal antibody in terms of efficacy. Why I say that? Because the Mariposa has been a learning curve. But we also know from the same study that for the clinician, if you see a rash that you don't like it, don't be afraid to interrupt the amivantamab. Just hold it and skip one, two, or three doses if you need, okay? And then evaluate the patient again and dose modify, dose reduce if necessary. At the end of the day, there was another study coming from the Mariposa led by Dr. Campelo, in which she and the investigator proved that dose interruption on amivantamab or lazertinib, they do as well as if the patient never interrupt. So there is a way how to mitigate those toxicity that we found on the initial presentation from Mariposa. I think that this is a very key point for all our clinicians. Just evaluate the patient, hold the medication, skip if you need to skip, and then reevaluate and dose modify if you have to do it.
For me, I think the first line is very important. We need to give the best approach. We are very lucky that for EGFR we have two, at least two choices. But I need to emphasize only for me and I guess for our lung community, combination therapy is the standard of care, unless you find a reason why the patient cannot tolerate the combinations, and that way you use osimertinib monotherapy as we used to do before. And that's very important. And we have toxicities with pemetrexed, but we need to try to keep, in our opinion, the drug as much as we can, because there is a benefit combining with osimertinib in the maintenance and deal with the toxicities, with the cellulitis, the neutropenias. And, we already mentioned talking a lot about amivantamab and Mariposa and the management of toxicity that is very important. I think as more we empower our patients, more comfortable they feel managing this adverse event.
Yeah, I also will quote and agree with Dr. Reyes. I think that the combination therapy are the new standard. I mean, we cannot hide that those two phase three clinical trials beat osimertinib monotherapy for overall survival, which is our gold standard. So if I see a patient with EGFR mutation, in my opinion, they should go on combination therapy. That would be a decision between the clinician and the patient. And certainly, there are some of those patients that may need perhaps osimertinib, depending also on the patient situation. That could be multiple patients, factor, social environment, economic environment, caregivers, etc. So there are multiple factors that will play a role in a patient to see if they will receive monotherapy instead of a combination. I think that we have learned a lot in the last 2 years in this space. I think that more to come, more research to be done. But again, as Dr. Reyes discussed, as well as myself, we need to give the best therapy out front to any patient. And in this particular case, the topic today, EGFR mutation.
Great. No, thank you very much to Flasco community for listening to that and to Flasco for to keep, creating this educational program that are very, very helpful for our clinicians and for our patients. Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you.